Well, let's look with me, if you will, in Isaiah 40. I often notice, and I'm just this way, y'all have to forgive me, but I notice every time a preacher says, a common scripture, this is a common scripture, a scripture common. Well, this is a scripture common to all of you. When I hear it, just things go off in my head when I hear it. It's just the way I am. But that's what this is. We're going to read verse 27 to 31 of Isaiah 40. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Lord, we thank you for your word, and I ask you, Lord, that you'll bless it tonight. Help me, Lord, to speak forth the truth from it, and let it, by your Spirit, speak to the hearts of this people, and we'll thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen. A sponge. You maybe had a sponge you used to clean or whatever, and you know, they make them now out of this synthetic material, and they don't get hard like they used to. The old type of sponges, you'd buy it and use it, and when you came back, it would be hard and crusty, and you'd have to put some new water on it to get it to soften up, to get back to its usableness. And that's the way it is in our spiritual life, that, you know, sometimes the cares of this world, the things of life get us dried up and hard and brittle, and we need that refreshing, that renewing, that softening of the Spirit to, we need to be immersed in the presence of God to have His strength and His renewal given to us. I want to look at this verse for a minute. Verse 31 is the text. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. A renewal, a renewing, to get it fresh again. And sometimes if you look at the verses that we read, the people of God had come to a place in their life situation that it appeared that God had neglected them. They were accusing God of neglecting them, of leaving them alone. That's what verse 27 says. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, or speakest, O Israel? My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. They were in this place of, they were upset, they were in difficult time, and they were complaining that God was neglecting them, that He wasn't, watching out for them, that He didn't know what was going on, that He was unaware. My way is hid from the Lord. My judgment is passed over my God. God doesn't know what's going on with me. He doesn't understand, and He's not going to do anything about it. That was the complaint that they issued to God. And you know what? I think in our spiritual lives today, we don't necessarily have the same political situation that was going on here in Isaiah's day with the kings and the surrounding armies and all of those things that were happening. We're not necessarily dealing with that. But in our spiritual lives, We come to that same place sometimes in our spirit where we just look around at our situation and we say the same thing. Does God see me? Does God know what's going on? What's he waiting on? What's he waiting on? Why is this not over yet? And we bring those same complaints to God that the children of Israel, the Hebrews, brought to God here in this place and in this text. But God is a God of renewal. He's a God of fresh starts. He's a God of refreshing and of strengthening. And that's what he will do and does do in our life. I want to look over in Romans chapter 6. You know, that's the great story, or the great chapter there where Paul is coming to the culmination of this first section of Romans where he's laying out salvation, the work of God to bring salvation. And in chapter 6, he talks about in verse 17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. God's a God of renewal. You were. This is what you were. You were servants of sin, but you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. God is a God of renewal. He's put us on the path of renewal. That's his focus. When Adam and Eve sinned at the very beginning, you know, the basic story is God created a perfect world and man in his rebellion sinned against God, and now the world is no longer perfect, and God's basic plan from here on out is for him to renew his creation back to what it was. To renew his relationship with man back to what it was. That's the God that we serve. And so we see here in Romans chapter 6 that he's making us new. Verse 18, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Verse 19, I speak therefore after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and do iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants of righteousness unto holiness. This verse is very similar. This is what it was before, but look at where we are now. Look at where you were before. Before you were, you had the infirmity of your flesh. Before, you were yielding your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity. But now, there's something new going on in your life. In our spiritual life, often though, this warring of the flesh, this battle of the flesh, this fighting of the flesh often gets us to the place to where we wonder, can we really make it? Am I really going to be able to overcome the flesh? Am I really going to be able to fight through? You know, there's sins that so easily beset us that Paul talked about that we have to lay aside. There's those things that the flesh is always there to fight against us. The flesh is always there to come and to bring an attack against us. Well, and the Old Testament was written for the purpose that we would learn from that. And so the text in Isaiah 40 is talking about the same thing that's happening there, is they're fighting with all these outside political forces. There are things going on in the country where there's those that are turning away from God. And Isaiah is one of them that's pushing for the things of God. That same battle that goes on now on an individual basis inside of you and me was the battle that was going on there in Isaiah's time, in a political and a community way. It goes on with us. And we fight this battle. But God is a God who renews. He's a God who is there to renew us. And so even so now, yield your members, servants of righteousness unto holiness. For ye were the servants of sin. Ye were free from righteousness. This is what you used to be. This is what you used to be. If you look, go back to Isaiah there, that's what Isaiah began to say to them as they were complaining about God's place and what he had done. You follow on into verse 28 and it says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard?" Kind of a response, a little sarcasm in that response. Have you not known? Have you not heard? You know, when we in our spiritual life, we get beat down with the fight and the struggle of the flesh and the world and sin, and we feel like we're losing that battle, and we wonder if God sees us, and we wonder if God knows us, and we wonder if God's strong enough and if we're going to be able to get through. And the Isaiah said, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard?" We need to remember what God's done for us. "For the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding." You need to remember. As we fight the battle of the flesh, as we fight the battle to become what God wants us to be, and we get weary in that fight, we got to remember what God did for us. We were the servants of sin, but now, ye were the servants of sin. Ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then of those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Now things have changed. Verse 23, we all know Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. That's what it was. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We often in our struggles with the flesh, we let the enemy defeat us through discouragement. He discourages us. He gets us down. We get disappointed. We get tired of the battle. But Isaiah said, "They that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength." He has set us free. He has gave us new life. We now have eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We used to have no choice in our sinning. We were slaves to sin. We had a selfish nature. We had the priorities of the enemy, but we've now been redeemed. We have a new nature. We are now slaves to righteousness. The evil, destructive habits that we used to have are now, we have newness in Christ. We have a new master. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. And we observe new way of living because of what he has done. Colossians talks about this same idea of what we used to be and what we are now. Colossians chapter 3, I'm getting there slowly. "If ye then be risen with Christ, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of the God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. This work of renewing, is God's work. We're a new man, renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. This work of renewing, this newness, this newness that comes when we are made servants of righteousness, it continues to be something that we have to do. We have to work at. We have to, the first 8 verses that I read, the first 9 verses talked about that battle, that fight, that continual struggle. But then we got to verse 10 and it said, but put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. So there's God's part that we know he's in charge and we trust in him. But then there's our part. We daily have to go through this fight. We're in it. We're not going to be out of it. We'll never be delivered from this fight until he comes back or until I go to see him. It's going to be a continual struggle day in and day out. Those people in Isaiah, they were weary of the struggle. They were weary of the fight. They were wondering when it was going to be over. And they were complaining. They were having difficulty seeing that God was really with them and that God was really working it out. And the same thing happens in our daily walk with the Lord. It becomes a trial. It is a trial. And so you read these first 8 verses, you know, if you're risen with Christ, seek the things that are above. Set your affections on things above. He talks about mortifying your members and putting away all these things out of your life. That's a continual struggle, the continual effort that the Christian and the believer has to put into our daily walk with the Lord. It's a struggle to read your Bible. It's a struggle to pray. It's a struggle to have the right attitude and the right spirit. I guess it is. It is for me. I guess it is for all of you all too. It's a struggle to be nice. Has your wife ever told you, be nice? I've been told to be nice on more than one occasion. It's a struggle. Those are kind of lighthearted, but there's other struggles that are just as difficult that we don't want to talk about. Those sins that easily beset. The things we say no to, but we end up saying yes when we don't want to. There's a daily fight. There's a daily struggle. And we're in it. And it's not going to change till we're in glory, because we're in this flesh. And there's going to be that daily struggle of life. And that's what Paul's addressing here in Colossians. You know, he's saying, you've been risen with Christ. You're new. There's a newness there. So there ought to be a different perspective. There ought to be a different outlook. There ought to be a different motivation. There ought to be something different about you, and we're going to set our affections there. We know that we're dead and our life is hid with Christ, and we know that we have his life and that we're going to be with him, but we got to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Mortifying the deeds of the flesh is not an easy thing to do. Mortifying anything is killing it. Killing anything is not easy to do. It's a difficult task. We have to do that, and we have that struggle. We have that difficulty that we have to encounter, and we're struggling with it. And so Paul's saying, you've got to mortify those deeds. You've got to get the flesh under control. You've got to keep it under and surrendered to the Spirit of God. You sometimes walk this way, But now we walk another way. There's a new direction we take, and we're not going to get discouraged in it. We're not going to back away from it. We're not going to let it get us down. We're not going to stop, even though we may falter and even though we may stumble. We're not going to give up. We're not going to quit. We're going to keep pursuing this life of living for God, of living and walking in the Spirit, even though I didn't walk in the Spirit like I should have yesterday, and I let something get the best of me. I am determined that I have been given new life in Christ Jesus, and I'm going to put those old things off, and I'm going to work on it. But now, you also put off all these. He lists a whole bunch of things again. There's a whole bunch of things he talks about in verse 5. There's a whole bunch of things he talks about fighting with in verse 8. You're going to put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. We're not going to lie. We're going to put off the old man. That's a continual work and action on my part in my spiritual life that every day, no, it's not a salvation of works, but when I get saved, I got to work out my salvation with fear and trembling. It's that continual effort that I have. Am I alone in that? No, I'm not alone. And that's what we're going to get to at the end. We're not alone in it. But I have to. And I don't quit. And I don't give up. And I don't lay down, because it says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. It's after his image, and he created it. It's his image, and he made it. And he's faithful to complete what he's begun. We know that he's a God who will renew us. The challenges that come in our life, the job isn't going the way that we want it to go, and we're dissatisfied with the things of life. The kids aren't acting like they're supposed to act like. We get disappointed in ourselves and the things that we've done and the way we've let ourselves down and we let somebody else down. But we are still in the fight, and I'm here to say, don't give up, don't quit, don't give in. There's a battle to be won. There's something to press for. There's something to work for. There's something to keep moving towards. Paul was always motivated with his eschatological view of things. That's a big word. I wanted to say that. He always had a view for the future, heaven. He was pressing towards the mark. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And it kept him working, working, working for the Lord. It kept him pursuing the ministry that he was pursuing. It kept him trudging that path, that whether there was persecutions, whether there was trials, whether there was shipwrecks, whether there were whatever perplexities that came his way, he was always striving. I know that I can make it. I know the Lord's going to see me through. What I used to be, I am no longer. What I am now, God has made me, and he's going to continue to make me until I'm perfected in his image. We got to keep struggling. The struggle continues. The struggle continues. That old nature is always going to be rearing its head. Sin is always going to be lying at the door. Temptation is always going to be coming around the next corner. And even though we face those things, discouragement and difficulties, the enemy is ready to pounce on us at any time. He can get a little avenue into us to get us discouraged, to get us to quit, to get us to sit down, to get us to slow down. He's always going to do that. And we're not going to be out of this battle until we see him in glory. And Paul recognized that, and he kept going on. He said, it don't matter what's faced us, we keep moving on. Whatever the perplexities, we keep moving on. And that's what we have to do as Christians. We've been given victory. We've been given a new life in Christ Jesus. We've been given new strength in him, and we have hope for the future. I want to look at a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 16, for which cause we faint not, though our outward man may perish, Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not on the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The struggle keeps going on. The outward man perishes. Now, Paul, he may have been in a bad place when he wrote this one. He might have been sick. He might have been somewhere. He might have just came out of a shipwreck and he was weak. I don't know. I didn't study that out. But he was looking, this outward man is perishing. Something made Paul think that he was wasted away and about done for. But he said, even though our outward men perish, yet inwardly we are renewed day by day. When it came to the end of that when they were on that ship and they had all fasted for so long and everybody had been working hard to keep the ship floating, Paul said, the Lord appeared to me and he said, we're all going to live. That's the picture I get when I read this verse. Though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. God came to him and said, Paul, it's rough. The storm is big. It looks like you've thrown everything overboard. There's nothing left to hang your hopes on. But Paul, I'm here to tell you, you're all going to live. You're going to make it. And Paul got up and he called them all together and he said, God told me. He said, take courage. Get yourself something to eat. Get yourself something to eat because we're all going to live and God's going to get us out of here. We're all going to live and God's going to get us out of here. And that's the way it is, that renewing. In the middle of that shipwreck, that storm of that ship that was going down, God came to him and said, I'm the God of renewal. I'll renew you day by day. And these light afflictions, this fight that we fight, this fight that we fight, when we get over there, we're going to look back and say, man, that was nothing. Because this is a far more eternal weight of glory that we experience now than we've ever experienced. Our light afflictions, he calls them light afflictions, because they work an exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We don't look at the things that are seen, because they're temporal, but we look at the things that are not seen, the things that are not seen. Here in Isaiah chapter 40, this verse of scripture, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. If we just keep waiting on God. Now, waiting doesn't necessarily mean that I just stand there and twiddle my thumbs. No, it means that I pursue and I watch. When the king gave out his talents, when the rich man gave out his talents to his servants, at the end of each of those parables, Jesus said, you watch, because you don't know when he shall appear. You keep pursuing, you keep occupying, you keep investing, you keep fighting the fight, you keep battling the battles, you keep working on, but God will, if you wait upon the Lord, he will renew your strength. You'll mount up with wings as eagles, you'll run and not be weary, you'll walk and not faint. That battle of the flesh that gets you down, that battle against sin that keeps working on you and weighing you down, you're going to get strength. God is here. He has not forgotten you. He is not, he saved you. He set you free. He brought you out of sin. He put you into the body of Christ. He made you a new creature in Christ Jesus. He put his image on you, and he that began a good work is faithful to complete it. If we wait on the Lord, if we keep pursuing, if we wait on the Lord, he will renew our strength. We'll mount up and we'll be flying higher than we ever thought we could. Because he's going to see us through. He's going to see us through. We will make it. We might have gotten tired. We might have gotten, we might look around us and we'll have those moments like they had in verse 27. Is my way hid from God? And my judgment passed over from my God? Does he know what's going on? And is he going to do anything about it? We'll still have those moments, but if we keep waiting on him, he will renew us. He'll renew us day by day. He'll lift us up. He'll strengthen us. He won't leave us alone. He will not abandon us. He's promised to stay with us, and he'll see us through every trial and difficulty and temptation. Over in chapter 41, verse 8 says, "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth." It's his work. He called them out. He made them what they are. "Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof, therefore and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away." He's not forgotten you. He's not left you alone. He is working for your good. He's working in your for your benefit. He is there to bring you renewal. Verse 10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." He's not going to let us down. And he's not, that word uphold doesn't mean just kind of hold up. That's not what it means. Uphold means he's going to hold on and not let go. You and I may get weak in our ability to hold on to God, but he's not going to be weak, and he's not going to fail in his ability to hold on to us. He's going to hold on to us. Fear not. When we feel weak, when we feel distressed, when we feel tired in the battle, fear not. Don't be dismayed. He will strengthen thee. That's what verse 31, "They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint." Why? "Because I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." We can make it. We can make it. He's called us. He's saved us. He's made us his own. He's going to see us through. Don't be discouraged in the fight. But no, there's nothing to fear. He's going to strengthen us. He's going to hold on to us. And he's going to see us through. We can trust in his renewal. And you know what? As he renews us, there's going to be those moments when we feel like that eagle that's soaring. There's going to be those moments that we feel like that runner that's running. But then there's going to be some other moments that come on a little bit on another occasion when it feels like God's forgot us again. But as we go through this life, as we live this life for him, he's never going to let us down. He's never going to let us down. He'll always hold on to us and strengthen us and see us through. Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you for your encouragement. Lord, that it's not up to us. It's not up to us. But Lord, it's what you've done. Lord, this battle that we fight, we don't fight it by ourselves. You're the one that strengthens us. You're the one that renews us. You're the one that makes us overcomers. Lord, we give ourselves to you and we surrender ourselves to you, and you make us overcomers. Lord, I pray for this congregation. If there's some that feel like they're in that point of the fight when they don't know where the help's going to come from and they're not sure if they're going to make it, Lord, I pray that your word has been an encouragement to them tonight, that you're going to lift them up. You're going to strengthen them. You're going to see them through, and they're going to mount up with wings as eagles. They're going to run and not be weary. They're going to walk and not faint, because your strength is renewing them day by day in the things of God. Thank you, Lord, that you're always with us. You never leave us nor forsake us. We trust in you, and our confidence is in you, and our hope is in you. We thank you, Lord, for being our victorious Savior. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the